Support comes from Gemma, architects, planners, and designers seeking to bring joy to their clients and communities. Details at gemastl.com.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. Each year, the St. Louis Visionary Awards recognizes women who've made outstanding contributions and achievements in creating or supporting the arts in St. Louis. One of its categories is Community Impact Artist. 2025's honoree for that award is Sukanya Mani. The Indian-born interdisciplinary artist uses accessible materials like paper and textiles to prompt dialogue about difficult issues women face and that immigrant and refugee women in particular often experience in silence. This month is busy for Sukanya. Along with accepting St. Louis Visionary Awards honors on April 21st, her work is up at a solo show at the Center for Creative Arts and a group exhibit at the Gallery at the Kranzberg. I spoke with Sukanya last week about all of that and began by asking about her very first art creation and whether anyone still has it.
That I have to go back so long for that. Probably when I was a child, one of the first ways that I consumed storytelling was through comic books. And I was born in India, and there were these beautiful mythological stories that were printed as comic books in India. They are very famous. They're called Amar Chitrakathas. So they talk about these kings and queens and the, you know, the gods and goddesses of India. And my first piece would probably be a comic book style piece that, telling a story. And my mom and dad have it in one of the cupboards back home.
Okay, so they've kept it.
Oh, they have not. I am not very great at saving my work, but my parents are.
Okay, I think that's a particular talent that parents have. Now, you are described as an interdisciplinary artist. What does that mean for you, Sukanya?
So interdisciplinary means I try to use, or I use, multiple disciplines in my work. Some of the work is visual. It's a lot of intricate hand-cut paper. Some of it is video and audio that I have used in my work. I use installation as a big language in my artwork. It's not only creating the artwork, but how you present it. So I don't like to box myself as somebody who does only paintings or photography, but rather I use the materials, whatever materials are necessary and available, to tell the story that I want to tell.
Sukanya, what is the relationship between the media you use in and for your art and the themes that you explore?
A lot of it is intertwined. So the way the artwork is shown goes to my science education. So I studied physics, chemistry, and biology in school. And one that encourages you to ask a question and experiment and make multiple iterations, which is also an artistic journey, artistic concept. The themes that I talk about are women and women's experiences. But instead of showing them in a painting or in a two-dimensional way, I install them. I use these scientific concepts like gravity and light and space to make the viewer's experience unique. So when I say light is it's almost a co-collaborator in my work. When I cut paper out and then I install it from the ceiling, the balance and the way the artwork is suspended is playing with gravity. And the way I light it and there are multiple shadows plays with, you know, reflected light and refracted light and shadows and so on. I also think that when you present very delicate paper suspended like that, it's suspended in a way that when a viewer walks by it or even breathes near it, there is a movement. It adds to the delicacy of the work, and it puts that in the mind of the viewer. So these are women who are very delicate, but very strong. And so the medium, the way that it is shown, all of it is, it's like a circular loop. They feed into each other.
Mm-hmm. So Kanya, the bio on your website, it does state, as I did in the introduction, that you are a St. Louis-based, Indian-born interdisciplinary artist. But I'd like to hear a little bit more about your India to St. Louis journey. Now, as I understand, you lived in many places in India, which people may not think about as a very, very diverse country. Tell us a little bit about the significance of that.
It has a huge impact on who I am today. So my dad was part of the Indian Army, the engineering corps. So they build roads that get people to be able to go to the border areas. So I didn't grow up in a typical Indian city, but more the border areas, borders again with India, with Pakistan, Afghanistan, and China. Mm-hmm. And so the schools there are army schools. And we moved every 2 to 3 years. And we spoke, each school that I went to for almost every third class spoke a different language. Mm-hmm. It also prepared me to move to a different country and start over, give me the courage to do that. And there was no art education. Now, that's really important to stress, that in any of these schools, there was no dance class, no music, no drawing class, only science and math, English and languages and so on. But the idea of being, of absorbing art from society, from people, from stories around you, also made me who I am today. Mm-hmm. I don't look at the traditional places where art is made, but I look into my community, look into the immigrant and refugee communities in St. Louis, and I get a lot of my stories from there. Mm-hmm. So the growing up part of my life, the moving and the multiple languages has really put me in a space that makes me the artist I am today.
Mm-hmm. What is it that brought you to the U.S. and then eventually to St. Louis?
So I landed here at the Lambert St. Louis Airport. I was married in India to my husband, who was living in St. Louis at that time. And so in 98, I come on what is called an H-4 visa, a dependent visa. I didn't have a work permit. So for the next couple of years, I could not work. Mm-hmm. And I used that time to just work on my artistic practice.
Yeah. So how is it that living in St. Louis has affected what you make as an artist? You described communities, immigrant community, refugee communities as well. Is there a specific example of a piece that you've worked on that really captures the influence of place?
This was during the very early days of the pandemic, when everything was just shutting down and we were in a very confused state of mind as to what's going to happen. And I was very scared, very vulnerable. And I told myself I have a roof over my head and food on the table and family around me. The very next day, I see an article about domestic violence and sexual abuse. And that was a wake-up call to me that the very things that I thought were protecting me at that time mm-hmm. could be the most dangerous thing for someone living in those circumstances. And therein began a journey of learning about domestic violence and sexual violence. I made it a specific goal of mine to reach out to immigrant and refugee communities and get stories from the women there who are going through the same domestic and sexual violence. Some of those stories are not told. There are cultural barriers. There are legal barriers. Mm-hmm. There are barriers where people don't understand what can and what cannot be divulged to someone who is not part of their family. Mm-hmm. And out of all of this was born a specific project that's actually up at the Kranzberg right now called the Bangle Project. One of the transcripts that I read mentioned a woman who said that she was ashamed to share her journey as a victim of domestic violence because she thought she would be judged by other immigrant women. And I made it a point to reach out to many, many members of the South Asian community, immigrant community, and women in general to talk about how do we reduce these barriers? How do we make judgment-free spaces so we can trust each other and talk to each other? Mm-hmm. I collected bangles, which is a representation of matrimony, and it's one of the things that can easily be donated. You know, it's not very expensive, easy to transport, and so on. And so I started collecting these bangles, and I threaded them using red thread, which is used in wish-fulfilling practices in India. Mm-hmm. So the wish is to create a trusted space. And even though this is not a physical location, it is more of a metaphorical trusted space. But all the volunteers who came in to help thread the project, every single person who donated the bangles, we had conversations and discussions about going forth in our lives and making these trusted spaces for each other.
Is storytelling as a result, as well as an input, something that you've always set out to do?
Yes, I am a storyteller at heart. Having said that, there was a special challenge with the domestic violence survivor stories because we don't want to present names. We don't want to give out exact stories because we want to respect and honor the person who has shared their stories. Mm-hmm. So stories don't always have to be literally placed in front of the viewer. They can be abstracted, metaphorical. And that's what art does. It presents something in a very unique and different form. Mm-hmm. That's what I strive to do.
I'm talking with artist Sukanya Mani. Later this month, she will receive the Community Impact Artist Honor at the St. Louis Visionary Awards. We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be back very shortly to continue this conversation. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio.
This is St. Louis Public Radio. Support comes from Parrot Corporation, a contractor with over four decades of shaping the St. Louis landscape. More at parrot.com.
Welcome back. I'm Elaine Cha. Let's return to the conversation I recorded last week with the St. Louis Visionary Awards 2025 Community Impact Artist, Sukanya Mani. I asked Sukanya about a piece that's part of a juried group exhibit now showing at the gallery at the Kranzberg, and how the installation, which is visible from the gallery's window on Grand Boulevard, represents her commitment to centering women's experiences and community work.
Yes, thank you so much for picking that piece. It's very close to my heart right now, because that's the one that I am working on expanding, and I want to make it a traveling piece. So it mm-hmm. travels to different states and different cities and so on. This particular piece is called Thuli. And Thuli in Tamil, which is the language that I speak at home, mm-hmm. means a hammock, a cloth hammock that women make out of the saris that they wear. So they save these beautiful saris, and when they're child is born, the child is placed in this thuli or hammock, and the mother sings a lullaby and gently rocks them to sleep. This piece was born out of the idea of postpartum care, or rather the lack of it. In my own personal experience, I have two boys that I were born here in the United States, away from my family, and from day one, I have been taking care of them. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize it then, but I really understand it from a perspective removed from the day-to-day taking care of the children. There is so much of nourishment, ritual, care, and bonding that goes through a new mother and a child. And in countries like India and in many, many parts of the world, every culture has a way of taking care of the new mother. The community comes together, usually aunts and grandmothers and sisters in the village. Mm-hmm. They make special food for the mother, take care of the child, and so on. And all of these ancient practices have been lost in our contemporary society. I also wanted to bring attention to the idea of maternity leave or unpaid maternity leave, paid maternity leave. All of these are conversations that we want to have. Mm-hmm. Medical care for the mother, mental health care for the mother, and so on. The tuli itself is four saris that are hanging from a ceiling, as if there's a baby ready to go in the middle of it. Mm-hmm. And then surrounding this fabric installation is these intricate cut paper of both some real women and some ancient goddesses and ancient mothers that have taken care of us as a society. So what I have done is added these motherly figures all around, surrounding the sari, and then tied them again using a red thread, which is a wish for the protection of the child and the mother by the community that surrounds her.
And walking around that is something that I also did, and in different directions too, which changes the experience of what is there.
And that goes to the power of installation art. So how do you take a piece of artwork and install it very intentionally so that the viewer can experience it from different angles, and it almost makes the viewer move in a specific way. And that adds to the ritual of the piece itself.
Something that is true of the St. Louis region is that the fastest growing immigrant group is Indian. You've lived in St. Louis, you know, since 98. So I imagine you've seen that change over time. Has the change in that specific demographic group with whom, you know, you have some of these connections come into play as you now show and talk about your art?
Yes, very much so. It's different generations of people who are coming in. There was an influx of Indian Americans in the 60s and 70s, and then more with the IT boom when I came in the 90s. And now it's a very different group of people, mm-hmm. who are connected to India on their phones, and they know what they're getting into before they even get here. I didn't know what St. Louis looked like until I landed here.
Sure.
But
yeah,
today
yeah.
You can go on Google Maps and see exactly where you're landing.
Mm-hmm.
So the newer wave of immigrants who are coming in, my perception of it is they are more prepared. They know what they're, you know, what they're coming into. But it also brings a new set of challenges. Ideas like domestic violence that I was talking about.
Sure.
Or even the lack of knowing your rights. It could be rights as a woman in a marital relationship. It could also be lack of knowledge about your job and what is okay and what is not okay. So a lot of education needs to happen. You know, there is this huge group of people who bring in an amazing amount of talent, mm-hmm. which can be tapped into, but also there is a lack of education that needs to be met.
And the extent to which people think of Indian immigrants as a monolith, we had a conversation here on the show about Indian Americans and their political positions.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things, you know, you mentioned Tamil as the language that you speak at mm-hmm. home, but the sheer range
yes.
of cultural, linguistic, you know, religious differences, do you think that your art does have a way of providing a space for people to respond to the same thing and perhaps for there to be productive conversations, you know, among and between these groups?
Absolutely. And that is the end goal. It is to bring people together. It is to make people feel seen and heard. A lot of my artwork is collecting stories from women from all over the world, from people who have lived in St. Louis all their lives. Mm-hmm. The immigrant and refugee community, I make a specific, I take out some time and I make an effort to get those stories because not everybody does. But that is part of the story. Mm-hmm. It's not the whole story. Because stories of postpartum care, for example, is universal for women from everywhere. But going back to your question about people in India coming, you know, with these different backgrounds, with religions and languages and so on, it is what still binds all of us together is we are immigrants. We were born in a different country and we have come to an adopted land and we are making this our home. Mm-hmm. So again, the challenges are different, but we need spaces, we need trusted spaces, and we need a way for us to connect with each other so that we can openly talk about challenges. Only if we talk about it can we find solutions for it. Mm-hmm. And there is strength in bringing out these problems, coming together as a community and trying to find common solutions.
Mm-hmm. So Kanya, you have received numerous grants and awards for your work creating art in the community. In 2022, the Riverfront Times named you a change maker, and in just a couple weeks, you will be honored by the St. Louis Visionary Awards as its 2025 Community Impact Artist. You received word about this award a few months ago, but in this moment, in early April 2025, what does that award mean?
The award is, it's an honor. It's an honor. But for an artist, especially a community artist, we do the work because there's no other way out. This is what we do, with or without the awards. Mm-hmm. It is very much appreciated. And I think awards like this, what they do most is they spread awareness about the things that I'm talking about. Sometimes it's hard for you to be sitting in your studio creating work, and if there is no audience, then there's no way to get the message out. Mm-hmm. But awards like this, which I deeply appreciate, coming from the St. Louis community, which is my home, is that it will get the word out, and hopefully this will make more conversations possible, not just within women and other community members, but policymakers. People who have the power to make a change. Art can make that change. Art has made that change in the past and will continue to do so in the future. But it's a responsibility of artists like me to elevate these stories.
In closing, Sukanya, if there's one place in St. Louis you could do an installation, where would that place be, and what would you want to do there?
I would love to do a big public art sculpture near the Arch. Mm-hmm. And make it a community-led piece. So it invites everybody to come in and add to the artwork. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it will look like yet, but ever since I came to St. Louis, the Arch has been the calling, right? The big gateway, which has welcomed us into its community. And I'd love to somehow have a piece around that symbol, even a small piece. That would be a dream.
So it's now out there.
We'll
see what happens. Sukanya Mani is a St. Louis-based, Indian-born, interdisciplinary artist. Sukanya, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
This episode was produced by Elaine Shaw.
Audio editing by Alex Hoyer and Jada Jones.
Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.